Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. It's Mother's Day, and while it is customary for us to speak on children honoring their mothers and how we go about doing that, this morning I want to speak on the subject of what it means to be an honorable parent. An honorable parent. Now, I thought about this for quite some time and thought, well, why don't I just speak on what it means to be an honorable mother? But then I got to thinking that most of the fathers, when it comes to Father's Day, won't be in church. They'll be out at camping, or they'll be doing this, or they'll be doing that. Mothers want families to come to church. Fathers want families to go out camping, fishing, doing this, doing that, and the other. So I'm going to hit two birds with one stone this morning. I'm going to talk to moms, and I'm going to talk to dads as well. And you may be an individual who says, well, you know, I've long since, my children have grown up, and they're no longer in the home. And so Mother's Day, Father's Day, parenting, you know, doesn't really affect me. And so I can use this time to get caught up on my sleep. I wouldn't advise that. Many, many years ago, 1,000 years ago, a million miles away, we were in church one Sunday, and our chairman of deacons at that time was, his business was Carrier Air Conditioning, and he had spent all day Saturday working on an air conditioning unit, could not get the thing to work, could not get it way up until late at night. Floyd Goldsmith had been working on this thing and just couldn't get it to work. And so the next day was Sunday, and he was in church, and he was just dead tired. And so when Pastor George Finley got up to preach, Floyd Goldsmith fell asleep. And Pastor George had seen that Floyd, now you have to understand, Floyd Goldsmith was about 6'4", weighed about 290 pounds, so he was not the kind of guy that you want to kick sand in his face. But during the course of the service, Pastor George had emphasized a major point in the sermon and hit the pulpit and said, "Isn't that right, Brother Goldsmith?" And Floyd Goldsmith woke up, stood up, and led in the benediction. So I would advise you not to fall asleep in worship service. But whether you're a parent or a grandparent or a great-grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, whether you've had children or not, all of us have opportunity to be an influence over this next generation coming up. We have an opportunity to have an influence over children. And so what I want to share with you this morning is very, very important for parents, for grandparents, for great-grandparents, and for all individuals who spend any amount of time with children. And I want to begin by looking at the law of God found in Exodus chapter 20. Stand in honor of God's word with me, if you will, please. God spoke these words, saying, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath unto the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughter or your male servants or your female servants or your livestock or your sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of God. May he add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. The primary commandment of all of the law of God is that we will honor the Lord God with all of our life, during all of our life. The fifth commandment, which stands between our responsibility to God and our responsibility to our fellow man, is to honor our parents. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And then he quotes the fifth commandment and then states, "It is the first commandment with promise." Honor your parents, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Tim Challies wrote, quote, "Children do not bear the full responsibility of the fifth commandment." They do not bear the full responsibility of the fifth commandment. If children are to extend honor to their parents, parents are to make it easy for them by living honorable lives. Children are not to wait until their parents prove honorable before extending them honor. For the parents' honor derives from their position, not their behavior. Yet there is still an onus on the parent to live a worthy and respectable life." End quote. And so I want to ask the question this morning: how can parents live lives that are worthy of their children's honor? Honor is not something that you can demand from your children. Respect is not something that you can demand from another individual. It has to be earned. It has to be earned. You can honor the position of the presidency, but that does not necessarily mean you respect the president. And you can honor the role of a father or a mother in the home, but that does not necessarily mean you respect the person who occupies that position. And so again, I ask the question, how can parents live a life that is worthy of their children's honor? And a second question, how can parents make it easy for their children to honor them? How can parents make it easy, or any adult for that matter, whether it's a parent or a grandparent or a great-grandparent or so on and so forth, how can they make it easy for a child to honor them? Let me give you three suggestions this morning. First of all, be a godly Christian parent. Be a godly, now I didn't say be a Christian parent. Be a godly Christian parent. Second, follow honorable examples. And third, surrender your children to the grace of the Lord God.
Eric Lane writes, "A child's greatest blessing is to have parents in whom they can take pride." That's a great statement. A child's greatest blessing is to have parents in whom they can take pride. It is a blessing for children to have honorable parents, and it is right for them to take pride in their fathers and in their mothers. John Kitchen writes, quote, "Children find great honor in having an honorable parent. The fifth commandment requires children to honor their father and mother, but it is also incumbent upon the parents to give their children reason to do so." End quote. So what can parents do to make it easy for their children to honor them? Well, I can list a lot of things, and certainly the list is not exhaustible, but all of these things are biblical, and we need to be reminded of them from time to time, if you're a parent or a grandparent or a great-grandparent or so on and so forth. I could list such things as love your children constantly and unconditionally. Love your children constantly and unconditionally. Always be kind and gentle toward them, and be patient with them. We pretty much check out on that one. Be patient with them. Treat each child as an individual person. Attend to all of your child's needs. Be actively involved in each child's interests. Consider each child's point of view or opinion. Allow your children to take on responsibility. Set boundaries and establish discipline in each child's life. Those are just a few things. Ray Pritchard lists five things to bear in mind. Praise your children. Listen to them. Set limits and say no. Spend time with them and model the right kind of life before them. These are some positive things that we can do to have an impact on children. A positive impact, a lasting impact, a valuable impact upon children. But there are also some negative things that we need to steer clear of. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes, "Do not provoke your children to anger." In other words, don't irritate or frustrate your children to the point they become angry. And I know that there are adults who will do that intentionally. They like to poke fun. They like to needle and goad children. They like to irritate kids to the point that the child becomes angry, and they just delight in making kids angry. I don't understand that. But the Bible says don't do it. Don't irritate or frustrate your children and make them angry. Don't belittle your children or treat them unfairly. Never show favoritism. The best way not to show favoritism is to have only one child. Otherwise, you're going to be tempted to show favoritism. It's a tension in the home. We've had it in our home. It was present in the home that I was raised in. I see it a lot in homes that I have to deal with. Just don't do it. Treat each individual child as an individual person. Don't show favoritism. Don't rob them of their dignity and self-esteem. Don't shame them publicly or privately. I tell you, sometimes, dear friends, when I go to Walmart or Target or to some other store, whether it's Kohl's or I want to slap some parents sometimes. I really, really do. It's all I can do to bite my lip and just hold back because of the way some parents treat their children in public. It's disgraceful. And furthermore, what they're teaching that child is it's okay to berate and to belittle and to destroy their self-esteem and to strip them of their dignity by treating them the way they do in public. And furthermore, dear friends, and I know parents don't realize this, but when they belittle a child and treat a child that way, they're just demonstrating what a fool they really are in treating a child that way. Don't abuse them. Don't abuse them physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. Honor your children if you want your children to honor you. Disrespect your children if you want your children to disrespect you. Now, that's a lot of do's and don'ts. And I know that we can't keep all of that in a list and check it off every single morning as we start our day or every evening as we end our day. So again, let me just give you three principles. I think that if we just concentrate on the three principles, all of these other things will find their place in our heart and in our mind and in our home as well. First of all, be godly Christian parents. Be godly Christian parents. Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse 37 that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I firmly believe that if adults, moms and dads, grandpas, grandmas, and so on and so forth, if we truly take the Lord Jesus Christ to heart, we will treat children the way God wants us to treat children. We'll not have a problem with abuse. We'll not have a problem with favoritism. We'll not have a problem with shaming. We'll not have a problem with degrading them. We will treat them for what they truly are, a gift from God. Amen? Amen. Again, Tim Challies writes, "A life of honor before others begins with a life of honor before God. Put on all the noble characteristics associated with godliness and to put off all the ugly characteristics associated with ungodliness." Unquote. Put on the whole armor of God and take a stand with your children and for your children. Now here in the text, in Exodus chapter 20, we're to honor our father and our mother. The word honor, kabod in the Hebrew, the word honor means to be heavy or to be weighty. And I know sometimes that's the way parents really are with their kids. They're very heavy with their kids. They're very weighty with their kids. And by that I mean they're very heavy-handed with their kids. And they're very weighty when it comes to punishment or demonstrating anger or disappointment. But that's what the word literally means, but that's the literal meaning of the word kabod, but the application is vastly different from that. It means to have an impact. Fathers and mothers have an impact on us, and we're to have an impact on them. They honor us as their children. And that's a very heavy thing. That impacts each and every one of us, sometimes positively, sometimes negatively. But we're to have an impact on them by being children who respect them and honor them. Even though they make mistakes, especially when they make mistakes. It's amazing to me how many children will show disrespect toward their parents because their parents make mistakes and yet they don't realize the mistakes that they make themselves. But the word kabod is very closely related to the Hebrew word kabod, which translated is glory. And it's oftentimes used in the Old Testament with regard to the glory of God. In other words, parents are to be God's glory in the home. They are, as Alexander McLaren writes, they are his shadows to the child. They are to be the guardian of their children's mind and body and emotion and spirit. The dad, the mom, the grandpa, the grandma, the uncle, the aunt, we're to be the glory of God to our children, the shadow of God to them. There's a principle that's noted in Scripture, not only in word, but also practically played out everywhere in Scripture. And it's the same principle that we see over and over and over again in our culture today. And it's simply this: as the parents go, so go the children. As the parents go, so go the children. What did the Lord say here with regard to raising kids? He said, "I am a jealous God, and I visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me." And that's a tough thing to kind of understand. So let me explain it to you. "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me." What is he saying? He is saying that the parents have such an impact upon their children that their children will emulate the attitudes and actions of their parents. And those parents who hate the Lord God, and those parents who disobey the Lord God, and those parents who have no regard for the Lord God will teach that same attitude to their children. It will pass on down the line, and their children will become hot God haters, and their children's children will become God haters, and their children's children will be God haters. It's not that God says, "You have disobeyed me and you hate me, and so I'm going to punish you by punishing your kids." No. What he's saying is a very practical thing. Those who do not honor God in the home, those children in that home will not honor God either in their own lives. And it just perpetuates itself from generation to generation to generation. As the parents go, so goes the children. Unless there is some divine intervention in the life of the child. My mother used to say, and David stated it earlier on, I don't know where he heard it from, certainly wasn't from my mother, but my mother used to say, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." And that's true. That's very, very true. Children learn attitudes and patterns of behavior from their parents that follow them the rest of their lives. Now, just a quick survey, and you don't need to raise a hand, but how many of you, when you were younger, when you were like a teenager or something like that, early teens, later teens, so on and so forth, you thought to yourself, "When I grow up, I'm not going to be like my mom." Or, "When I grow up, I'm not going to be like my dad." And now that you are, you are. Now that you are a mom or a dad, you're just like your parents when you were younger. How is that? You know, we say we're not going to do this, and we try to modify our behavior, and we try to change our attitudes, but it just comes out over and over and over again. Why is that? It's the influence that our parents have had upon us, good or bad. And later on, those things that we learned 30, 40, 50 years ago, we find ourselves doing it, and we want to kick ourselves, don't we? We want to go hide in a closet. It is necessary then for the sanctification of the home and for the salvation of our children that parents live a godly life before each other and before their children. Even if a child does not honor the faith of the parent, They will have that example set before them, and they will remember and appreciate that example for the rest of their lives. So be a godly Christian mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, great-grandma, great-grandpa, aunt or uncle. Don't just be a Christian one, be a godly Christian one. Second, follow honorable examples. Follow honorable examples. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be imitators of me, the Apostle Paul says. Be imitators of me as also I am of Christ. As I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and as I embrace his truth, and as I am impacted by the truth of his word, then follow my example. As I follow his example, you follow my example. He goes on to say in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able then to teach others. Follow the example of godly Christian parents. God has given us the church to help us deal with difficult challenges in life. And some of those challenges come from our home and the way we are as parents in a home, or the way our children are in the home. We're to surround ourselves with Christian people who can provide examples for us to follow and to also counsel us in the areas where we may be lacking. But you have to be intentional about it. You cannot permit this to be an accidental thing. If you see in the fellowship or outside the fellowship, if you see an individual who has a measure of success in their home life with their children, ask them, what is it that you do that your children honor you and respect you? What principles do you follow in the home that allow you to be successful in raising your children? Or maybe ask the children. If you know that they have honorable parents, or if they admire their parents, or they take pride in their parents, ask the kids, what did mom and dad do in the home, in their raising you, that has had such an impact in your life? Why do you love them? Why do you want to be around them? There is a lot that we can learn by observing others and by investigating their successes. Third, surrender your children to the grace of God. Dear friends, if there's anything greater than we can do for our families, I don't know what it is. Surrender your children to the grace of God. I want you to listen to the prayer of Hannah in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Listen to this woman's prayer. Hannah vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and not a razor shall touch his head. Here is a woman who was not able to have children, and she would go to church quite frequently, and she would offer the sacrifices required by the Lord God in worship, and she would pray a very personal prayer, Lord, if you see fit to give me children, then here's what I will do. I will surrender my children over to you, and I will raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord God all the days of their lives. And God blessed her with a child. Listen, it's one of the greatest stories of the Old Testament. God blessed Hannah with a child named Samuel. And when the child was old enough to be weaned, she turned him over to Eli the priest. And Eli the priest helped to raise that child. And when that child Samuel became an adult, listen to this, when that child Samuel became an adult, he was the single instrument that God used to bring the entire nation of Israel back to faith in the Lord. You say one person can't do much? One person in the hand of God can do the impossible. And through that one child who was nurtured to know the Lord and to respect and to honor the Lord God, God used that individual as the single instrument to bring the entire nation of Israel back to God. Hannah dedicated her son Samuel to the Lord to be raised under the influence of godly people. Joseph and Mary dedicated the baby Jesus to the Lord that he might grow and develop in the ways of the Lord God. My parents, excuse me, my parents dedicated each of their children to the Lord God the week that they were born and raised them in the local church so that they might know and understand and embrace the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nancy and I did the same thing with Anna and with Aaron, and God has blessed us beyond measure with our two daughters and with their children. It is the responsibility of the parent to live a life worthy of honor if they are to receive honor from their children. It is the responsibility of the parent to teach their children the importance of honoring them as a parent. Now, a child may prove to be hard-hearted. A child may very well prove to be hard-hearted, unwilling to identify with the faith of their parents, unwilling to forgive the weaknesses and the sins of their parents, unwilling to hear God's command and take it to heart. There are godly parents who have raised children who have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ at all, but continue to be an honorable parent before those children, because at least you will have lived a life of honor that was worthy of their honor. And you will have also fulfilled your God-given responsibility to your children. Let me close with this thought. In the end, children will grow up and make their own way in life. Children will grow up and they will make their own way in life. They will choose to honor God by honoring their parents, or they will choose to dishonor God by dishonoring their parents. But even if they choose poorly, even if they choose poorly, you can take comfort in knowing that even if your children forsake you, God will not. Even if they choose to forsake your God, God will not forsake them. And you can take that to heaven with you when your time here is over. Let's stand for prayer. Father, it is a wonderful thing to have godly parents, and I thank you that my father and my mother were truly devoted to you and devoted to their children. I thank you, Father, for their discipline. I thank you for their understanding. I thank you, Lord God, that they were genuine people, and that, Lord, they did the best that they could do in raising us kids, warts and all. I thank you for their patience. I thank you for their unconditional love. I thank you that they honored each and every one of us as an individual person. I thank you that they provided for us, and not just in material resources, they provided for us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, as well as physically. And I thank you, Lord God, that many, many years now since I've left the home, I can look back on my life as a child in the home of my dad and my mom, and I can say with the sincerity of my heart, thank you, God. Thank you for Jim and Judy. And thank you for what they've meant to me, and what they've meant to David, and what they've meant to Marianne, and what they've meant to Ronnie, and what they've meant to Bill. I pray for our parents. They got a truckload of responsibility to deal with nowadays. And it can be a very frustrating, intimidating, and heartbreaking endeavor to be a parent in this world today. But God, I pray that they will tap into your grace. I pray that they will look to you each and every day. That they will pray for their children as Job prayed for his children. Even as his children were adults, he prayed for them every single day. And I pray that you will give us that grace as well, to keep our children before your altar of grace. And that we will continue the pattern of godly parenthood in our homes. Bless us today and the activities of today. And I pray that throughout the day, we will take the time to say to our moms especially, thank you for being my mother. This I ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, Amen. God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.